and you're a woman, we'll welcome you in with open arms and open hands right where you're at.
Isaiah House Treatment Center, Real Hope for Addiction. 859-375-9200. Or visit us on the web at isaiah-house.org.
Did you know we're also on your smart speakers? Just say, Alexa, play WJMM.
No matter how bad it is, God always has a plan of salvation. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes, God is committed to the salvation of souls. He will bless you coming and going, and He will be so good to you that you will want to serve Him.
That was Pastor Terry Lewis with Faith Point Church. If you'd like to hear more, you can tune in Monday through Friday at 7:15 a.m. or catch it again at 11:15 a.m. here on 99.1 FM WJMM.
The following program is sponsored by Grace Fellowship Church.
I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life.
Good morning. This is David Redding for Pastor Jim Schreiner. Each day at this time, the family of Grace Fellowship of Lexington, Kentucky has the opportunity to meet by radio to share together in God's Word. Well, let's join the service already in progress as Pastor Schreiner continues in the series, What About the Spiritual Father Thing?
Venus in my spirit, it was like I was carrying the whole weight of the entire eastern part of this state on my spirit. And this is one of the most valuable things about having a spiritual father. I text Pastor and I told him that. And he said, I know exactly what that feeling is. He said, but I just refuse to carry it. And so that was a gentle correction. Like, oh, I've been choosing to carry it. And I shouldn't be. And so I just received that wisdom. And I know Pastor said this. He's like, you know, some people say, well, you don't know what it's like where I am. I can't say that. He was there for over two decades. He knows exactly what it's like where I am. Amen. But the right attitude, as I finish up here tonight, the right attitude to receive correction. And even sitting in service, just when pastor's preaching and ministering, here are some important questions that you can ask. One, am I really doing what is being taught? I want to have that question rolling around inside my spirit every time a message is being taught. And the second part of that, am I doing it willingly and in faith as unto the Lord? Because sometimes we can think that we're doing something and we're really not doing it. And number four, I didn't give you these numbers, but this is number four. The right way to receive correction, no condemnation, no beating yourself up. Again, I lost days, sometimes weeks of my life because I didn't know how to receive. But you just throw your hands up and you say, God, thank you. I received that correction. I'm not going to continue being wrong. I'm going to follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen.
Yeah, all three of them were just outstanding. You know, one of the things with the position of a spiritual father that I didn't realize is the fathering doesn't stop even if people don't want it. And that's a part that has been, it's been a change in my heart. And because, you know, it used to be, you know, with you. You know, you don't want it, go on. Go on with your ugly self. It doesn't matter, but I can't do that anymore. And it's like there's times that, you know, there's people that God has connected me with, and I don't even want to give enough specifics for you know who I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about anybody recently. And it's like I've told God, why do you keep bringing them before me? I don't have anything to do with them. Not in a bad way, not in an unforgiving way, but there's no interaction anymore. See, when I began to understand a spiritual father, I understood the connection that has to be made. It has to be somebody. I love that scripture that Brother Will started with, come face to face. You know, to say somebody's my spiritual father, that all I do is listen to them, or I watch him online, or I watch him on television, they don't know who you are. And there's a level of receiving from a father that you've been connected to that's unmatched. That's why Paul said, you'll have many teachers, you'll have many instructors, but not many fathers. And that thing with me that really changed in my heart, I've had connections, really even connections over the last 3 years, with people outside of our church, outside of our ministry, that I know God has connected us, that I rarely hear from. And I'll be up one morning and God will bring their face before me and tell me to tell them something. And I'm like, you tell them. Well, but I'm kidding about that. And as soon as he speaks it to me, I'm letting them know. I just want you to know what God's telling you. I had somebody contact me today and they said, you told me 2 months ago. And he said, when you gave me the word, it made absolutely no sense. And he said, I'm telling you right now, I'm walking it out. Exactly what you said. And it's a responsibility that I did not realize, honestly. But can I share a little bit about spiritual fathers? Okay, thanks. I got four of you. I'm good with that. But I was going to bring out again Hebrews 13:7, because when it says they give an account, but each of them has talked about that, you know, there's a responsibility. You know, it's funny to me to hear, we don't do it, but when you hear men preach on marriage, have you ever noticed most of the messages are to the women? Come on, ladies, at least you all be bold enough to answer me. Isn't that funny? Most times you hear men preach on marriage, they're talking about women are submit. Tell you one thing, that's what's wrong. Women aren't submitting, that's the problem. Is that okay, honey? It's Now, the reason I'm saying that is because so much of the teaching on spiritual fathers we get is about what your responsibility is. How you're supposed to treat a spiritual father. And the more word I study, the responsibility is on the spiritual father. And when you understand, as a husband, the times that we had problems in our marriage, you know, believe it or not, we slept in separate rooms. We didn't talk to each other. Now, this is very early on in our marriage. But I realized my problem was, is I was trying to make her the wife I thought she should be. Which, if nothing else, no, believe in miracles, because I'm still alive. But I had this mentality, you know, and not that. I don't do that. That was really bad. But, you know, here's how the wife is supposed to be, and this is what you're supposed to be as a wife. And then I began to actually get in the Word and find out the responsibilities on me as the husband. The husband, love your wife. Be a husband your wife can submit to. It's not your job to make her submit. It's your job to be the husband. And it's the same thing with the spiritual father. Look at this. He says in Mark chapter 9, and he says, but they kept silent. Remember that? The disciples are talking about who's going to be the greatest. You know, maybe they're talking about who's going to be in charge. You know, Jesus has told us he's leaving. I wonder which one of us is going to get to be in charge. And Jesus, I love it. He stops and he goes, what y'all talking about? We were just thinking about where we're going to eat. And so it says, verse number 34 of Mark chapter 9, but they kept silent. For on the way they had discussed with one another which one of them was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, look, you want to be first? You'll be the last and the servant of all. Now, I don't see in parentheses at the end of verse 35 where it says, except for spiritual fathers. And so my job in the position that I'm in is not to teach you how to submit, but it's to be somebody that's easy to submit to. And I want you to understand that. Be very careful with the teaching that it's all about what you have to do because of a spiritual father. all I can see, go to John chapter 15. Spiritual fathers, spiritual parents aren't exempt from the truth of Jesus says, you want to be the greatest, be a servant. And he says in John 15, 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down his life for his friends. Another scripture that doesn't say, except for your spiritual leaders. Now understand, beloved, there is, Brother Will has brought it out wonderfully, there is an honor that goes with the office. It's been a difficult transition. I'm just being totally transparent. It's been a difficult transition for Elizabeth and me. We are servers. And to watch you all get angry that we won't let you is uncomfortable to us. But we can't change who we are. We're learning. We're learning. But understand something. This thing about greater love has nobody, no one than this. I'm going to lay my life down for your life to be the greatest it can possibly be. That's my job. That's my total responsibility. Verse number four. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Pastor Eric did good. He didn't put a timer up for me. John chapter 13 and verse number 4, it says, he got up from supper and laid aside his garments. Taking a towel, he girded himself. Now, you've heard me teach on this before. Churches love to do this once a year or once every 6 months, have a foot washing service. But the problem is they leave the mentality at the foot washing service. And that's not what Jesus wasn't telling us. Hey, get together every year and wash each other's feet. He was saying this is the attitude that we all need to have. That we, if we're all here to serve each other, then everybody's being taken care of. If one of us, listen to me, if one of us is not here to serve, then they're taking advantage of people that serve. And they're abusing an office. I'm just reading what the book says. Go to Matthew chapter 20. Again, none of these have a disclaimer to say except for this office. One of the things that I so appreciate I appreciate about all of the giftings and the callings that we have in our body, and listen, beloved, we have a lot, is I don't know of any that say, well, this is my gifting and that's below me. You understand what I'm saying? No. I'm called to do this, and I can't get caught up in that stuff. I'm too important for that. I don't know anybody that has that attitude, and if they have, you're going to be very uncomfortable here, because every one of us has a servant's heart. And Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25, he says, Jesus called to himself and said, you know, now listen to this. This, we still believe what Jesus says, right?
Yes.
He says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. I don't know how you can get away from that. My job's not to lord over you. No pastor's job is to lord over you. But it says that's the way the world does things. It's not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave or be your servant. That's how you're the greatest in the kingdom of God. And so it's just because truths have been abused doesn't change.
Well, we're out of time for today, so be sure to join us again on Monday. We pray this program has been a blessing to you. Please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner with this ministry. You can reach us by phone at 1-800-20-GRACE or by mail at 4514 Briar Hill Road, Lexington, Kentucky, 40516. You can also reach us by internet at gracefellowshiplex.org. We sure would love to meet you, so please come on out and experience what God is doing in our services. We have two services on Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. We also have service on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for adult, youth, and children's ministries. In closing, all of us here at Grace Fellowship desire in your life what 3 John verse 2 declares. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. The